What's up, divers? Welcome into the Deep Dive Fantasy Football Podcast, where I take a deep analytical look at fantasy football and combine it with a common sense approach to lead us to some titles. I'm your host, Brandon Gabor, and before we get started, remember you can follow me on my main platform being Twitter at DeepDiveFF or on Instagram at DeepDiveFantasyFootball. With that being said, let's get to the content. What's up, divers? Welcome into another episode of Deep Dive Fantasy Football. Today, I will be going over what I believe to be the best and realistic landing spots for each position for the incoming rookies. I think it's important to talk about and get our thoughts out there and start thinking about these landing spots, because as much as we like rookies and we wish that it could just be how talented they were that was the reason for success, we've got to also acknowledge the fact that the landing spot is very, very important. And for a lot of positions, especially quarterback and running back, really can almost determine whether or not somebody is successful in the league. So we're going to go through that stuff and, you know, talk about why each spot might be good, bad, whatever. But they have to be realistic. I can't just throw out any spot. I can't just say, oh, for, you know, the best spot for a quarterback, I'm going to pick the 49ers. That's not really realistic. They're not going to take a quarterback. They've got Brock Purdy, right? So we've got to go through realistic landing spots for each position. We're going to start it off with quarterback, especially since Superflex Leagues is the most important thing. And I was thinking about doing a top five for every position, but I actually went a little bit deeper than that. So we're going to go backwards and work our way forwards, kind of keep you guessing on what, you know, if you think is a really good landing spot. You're going to have to be like, oh man, Brandon hasn't mentioned it yet. He hasn't mentioned it yet. Is it coming? So we're going to go backwards, forwards for that reason. So you guys can kind of stay on your toes and see if I'm forgetting something or if there's something you haven't thought of. So starting at quarterback, we've got seven spots that I consider very realistic spots for quarterbacks. There is some others, but these are the top seven in terms of realism and also being good spots. And at number seven, I have the Patriots. Now, I don't really think it's a good landing spot. It's not a good landing spot at all, truly. They don't have a coordinator or play caller that we can trust to develop the quarterback that comes in. They have a defensive-minded, unproven head coach. They have no weapons. The offensive line is nothing to write home about. They really don't have any sort of infrastructure to be good. So why do I have them at seven? Really, because of the opportunity. That's it. Because opportunity matters. And there's a massive hole, gaping hole, for a quarterback to come in and play right away for the Patriots. And maybe, you know, maybe they try to sit a quarterback behind Jacoby Brissett for a year. Probably won't last that long. They'll probably have to put the rookie in at some point, maybe week six, week seven, when Brissett's just not getting it done. But Brissett's actually a pretty decent bridge. And if I was the Patriots and I drafted a rookie quarterback in this class, I would purposely sit him no matter how bad Brissett is. Now, it's hard to say because they're worried about job security, right? But they're also all pretty new there, so they should be secure for at least 2 years. So I would sit the rookie the entire year so that he can come out and we can also have some time to get some weapons in there and not let the rookie build bad habits. But for me, the seventh best realistic landing spot for a quarterback in this incoming class is the Patriots. And then at number six, I have the Raiders. The Raiders are a little bit better of a landing spot than the Patriots, and it's only because of some of the weapons that they have between Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. Those two guys there, Hunter Renfrow has been released. Obviously, Darren Waller's gone. Josh Jacobs is gone. Darren Waller's been gone, but you know, that's kind of the recent cast that has moved out of Las Vegas. So they've got Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers. That's a decent tandem, or a good tandem. And I don't say great just because I don't really want to commit to Davante Adams yet, but it's a good combo of wide receiver there if Davante is actually still there when it's all said and done. Makes it a little bit better of a spot than the Patriots, but they're in the same boat. They've got an unproven head coach that's defensive-minded, and the offensive line is like, meh. So that's number six for me. Number five is going to be the Broncos. Now, the Broncos don't really have great weapons. It depends on what you believe about Marvin Mims. Cortland Sutton's good. Definitely not a one. Shouldn't be a one on an NFL team. Don't have a great receiving tight end. Javonte Williams is good, but he's not Jahmyr Gibbs or Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey, type of receiving back. So when you're looking at that situation, that's not a great situation either. However, the reason I have it above the Raiders and the Patriots is because it has what I view personally as the most important thing, and that's the coaching, and it's Sean Payton. Now, Sean Payton's not some super guru that I would just subscribe to wanting as the guy to develop my rookie quarterback. Absolutely not. But he is somebody that we trust as an offensive mind, and he's the first one on this list so far. The Raiders and the Patriots are defensive-minded head coaches. And while that may have worked in Houston with C.J. Stroud, that was on the back of their offensive coordinator, which was a home run in Bobby Slowick, who brought in a 49ers type of system and implemented it well. We don't know if these offensive coordinators for the Patriots Raiders are really going to be able to do much. And, I mean, we know the Raiders' Luke Getsy. He was the one in Chicago with Fields, not a great offensive coordinator. So that's not looking good for any possible incoming rookie quarterback for the Raiders. And like I said, Broncos at 5 because of Sean Payton. And at 4, now we're going to get into some top guys, all right? At 4, I've got the Commanders. Commanders are picking 2 overall. Everybody knows they're taking a quarterback. I think they're the 4th best landing spot, a pretty decent landing spot. This is the first one that I would feel comfortable with a rookie quarterback being there and me saying, yes, I'm excited to draft him. I'm excited that he is on this team. That's something that I can look forward to, and that's the Commanders. They've got good weapons. Cliff Kingsbury is good enough. He's good enough of an offensive coordinator. We haven't seen him actually as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. I think he will be a better coordinator than he was a head coach, but he's been with a lot of top-tier quarterbacks in college. He's been around a lot of different types of quarterbacks in college and helped them all be successful, so I do think he will construct an offense at least that is good enough for a rookie quarterback. And they've got Jahan Dotson, who I am a huge fan of still, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, Austin Eckler out the backfield, Brian Robinson to give them a good strong run game as well with Austin Eckler. And, you know, they're going to take some offensive linemen to help with some protection, and they're good to go on offense. I mean, they just need to shore up that O-line, but weapons-wise, they're good to go, and obviously they're going to be having a rookie quarterback. So I like that spot. A spot that I like more than the Commanders is the Bears at 3. Now, you might be wondering, whoa. The Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders are 1-2 in the draft order. So who are your two most realistic ones? You definitely know one of them. You definitely know one of them. I don't think you'll see the other one coming. But let's talk about the Bears first. The Bears have amazing weapons, probably one of the best cast of weapons, at least for 1 year, ever assembled for a first overall pick quarterback, incoming rookie, with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift, Roschon Johnson. That is a squad, absolute squad. And a lot of people think with their second first round pick, they might be taking a wide receiver. If a wide receiver falls, one of the top three guys, or Brock Bowers. I doubt Bowers because I think they really like Cole Kmet and he brings a lot to the table. But, you know, we'll see what happens in terms of additional weapons, but they've already got amazing weapons. Now, the thing holding me back on the Bears and the reason that the Bears are not 1 or 2 on this list for best landing spots for rookie quarterbacks is because I do not trust their coaching. I just do not. And that is, unfortunately, that's the biggest thing. And that is why at 2, I have the Miami Dolphins. So that might sound crazy, right? That's not realistic. Well, Tua, his contract is up after this year. And they have to decide whether or not, with the body of work that he's put forward, they want to commit to him for the long term. And I don't think that that's just an easy yes answer. I think that's something you really have to think about, especially when you're looking at the cap situation, the people they have money tied up into in Miami. They've lost a lot of guys. Their trajectory is not really going up right now. And I don't know if you want to just commit to Tua when he is like a Brock Purdy, like a Jared Goff, somebody that you have to have a really good system around for you guys to have a very successful offense. And he's not somebody that's going to create, and he's not as good as Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff's a little bit better than Tua. And Brock Purdy might be a little bit better than Tua as well. So Tua's like the worst of the three in that group of quarterbacks. And if that's the case, it might be worth taking a look at this quarterback class and taking a shot at a Spencer Rattler or a Michael Pratt or a, I mean, Michael Pratt, that's just, a cheaper, younger version of Tua. Not 100%. I haven't actually broke him down yet and got into it, but from what I've heard, he's an accurate, good processor. Just doesn't have like great physical tools. That sounds like Tua to me. But, there are a lot of interesting Jordan Travis, interesting guys in these middle rounds of quarterbacks. Maybe even, Michael Penix, who knows? If he drops into the second, maybe they're like, man, let's take him. The Eagles, once upon a time, took Jalen Hurts in the second round when they had Carson Wentz there and when people thought Carson Wentz was the guy. So don't count it out. Don't count out the Dolphins. And if they take somebody, I will have a nice little watermark next to their name as somebody I'm taking deep, late in rookie drafts or possibly picking him up off waivers because everyone's like, oh yeah, he's a backup behind Tua. And it's not going to be one of these top shelf guys. So a lot of people are just going to look the other way. Not me. I'm going to be paying attention and seeing what happens there because Mike McDaniel is the head coach and the offensive play caller, and he is a genius. And they've got great weapons in Tyreek and Waddle. They brought in Jonnu Smith, which I like. And I think, before Tyreek is done, Tyreek's got 2 years left, according to him. Before he's done, they will have a new weapon in the building with Waddle. So it's looking good. And, they've got always have a good run game. So I like that situation a lot. It is amazing. I trust Mike McDaniel to be able to develop and make a quarterback better. And then number one is the Vikings, obviously. Kevin O'Connell and the weapons, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Jordan Addison. That is one of the best trios in the league, if not the best trio in the league. I would have to really, really think about who could be better. I guess the 49ers if they keep their squad together, but honestly, not really, because as a receiver, Hawkinson and Kittle are pretty similar, and I would take Jefferson over Ayuk, and I would take Jordan Addison over Deebo. So I'm probably still taking the Vikings. So unless there's something obvious, somebody obvious that I'm just completely forgetting right now, I think that's probably the best weapons in the league, and they don't have a quarterback. So that's the spot. And I'm still going through my rookie quarterback rankings right now. This is part of the reason why I'm putting this podcast out beforehand, because I haven't finished the rookie quarterbacks yet. I'm really only so far done with Drake May, or not Drake May, JJ McCarthy. I still got to get to everybody else. So I've got a lot of work ahead of me. Also, quarterback takes the longest for me because it's the hardest position, and I take as much advice as I can, and I consume as much content from as much people as I trust that I can before I put together my scores and stuff for the rookies and my grading system. So it's going to take a while. So just bear with me there. It's probably going to come out like right before the draft comes out. Maybe even after. I don't know. Because I want to do the best that I can. I want to have a really good score system for these quarterbacks. I don't want to just half-ass it. But Vikings at number one, for sure. And I think that no matter what, after Caleb Williams, between Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, and Drake May, who everybody kind of views as like the next three guys after Caleb, I think landing spot is probably going to determine the order of those guys for me. And whichever one of them lands in Minnesota will probably be my QB2 for fantasy. So that's just how it is. I mean, landing spot is huge for quarterback. I think if Justin Fields landed in a good situation with a good coach that could develop him and teach him good things, like a Shane Steichen, for example, with the Colts, I would have loved Fields even more, and Fields would probably be a very successful NFL quarterback right now. So that's quarterback. Now we're going to move on to running back. I've got five spots, realistic running back landing spots, the best five. Number five for me is the Giants. The only reason the Giants are on here, the reason they come in at five is because of competition. Devin Singletary is the guy there, and we don't really know if Devin Singletary is who they want to be the guy there. They did just pay him, but they didn't really have anybody, so they needed to bring in someone. They couldn't just go in with an empty bucket in the running back position to fill up with just rookies. So they needed to grab somebody. They grabbed Devin Singletary, who I think has always been an underrated running back in the NFL. However, they probably are going to be taking someone on day two, maybe day three. Hopefully day three, because they have a lot of team building to do, and running back is not one of the priorities in that department. That's more of a final touch, cherry on top type of position. So, hopefully they do things right. But I don't know, man. I'm just really scared the Giants are going to ruin both a rookie running back and a rookie wide receiver, because they're going to go forward with Daniel Jones. They're not going to take a quarterback, and then they're going to say, all right, well, Daniel Jones with this stud rookie wide receiver and this rookie running back that Brandon likes, and we're just going to ruin them both. So that's what I'm scared of with the Giants, but I have them at 5 just because of the opportunity that will be available for the running back to take over the majority of touches. At number 4, this is a sneaky one, one that I don't hear many people talk about. I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, and that's the Cleveland Browns. They are my 4th best realistic landing spot for a rookie running back, and it's because of Kevin Stefanski and future competition. Kevin Stefanski loves the run game. He's a very good schemer of the run game. He, you know, without Chubb, was able to build a run game strong enough for us to feel comfortable playing Kareem Hunt and Jerome Ford both in fantasy. So he's somebody that always has a good, strong run game there in Cleveland, and I trust that if they bring in a running back, he's going to be amazing once Nick Chubb steps out, which is coming very soon. That's why I said Kevin Stefanski and future competition. Those are my reasons for having the Browns at 4. And at 3, I have the Raiders, also because of competition. Now, the Browns are probably a better landing spot once the running back, definitely a better landing spot once the running back has the touches than the Raiders. But the Raiders are going to get your touches to your rookie running back quicker, because right now they just have Zamir White. I don't count Alexander Mattison. He is a bum. So I'm not really worried about him at all. So when we're looking at the Raiders, they've got some weapons on the outside to keep pressure off of a rookie running back. They've got Zamir White in there too. They can kind of do a nice 1-2 punch, hopefully whichever rookie running back they bring in, because it would be a better compliment to Zamir White as a receiving guy. I think a nice sneaky spot for a running back to the Raiders would be Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving is a very good receiving running back in this class. He's a little bit undersized. You can let Zamir White, who's a big, strong dude, take those tough carries in between the tackles in the red zone and give Bucky Irving your Josh Jacobs targets, and he might be a little bit more dynamic. He's not super athletic, but he's good at making people miss. He's good on his feet, good contact balance, good receiver. So I would like that a lot. That's a sneaky pairing that I'm a fan of. But the Raiders are at 3. And then 1 and 2, no surprise. Number 2 is Dallas Cowboys, because there's no competition there and they have a really good offense there and they will run the ball a lot. And number 1 is the Chargers because of Jim Harbaugh, his commitment to the run, a whole bunch of carries that are going to be available there. Even though Gus Edwards will be taking a good portion, they're just going to be running the ball so much. And I think their run game is going to be very good and they're going to have a good offense because of prioritizing offensive line, which Harbaugh talks about all the time, Justin Herbert being a good quarterback, and them being able to have a good run game, both with Jim Harbaugh's input and, oh man, Greg Roman, that's his name, ex-offensive coordinator from the Baltimore Ravens, his input in the run game as well. So the Chargers are the best spot for me for running backs. So hey, whichever running backs go to the Chargers and the Cowboys, I will be all over. And then somebody going to the Raiders, depending on how I think their fit is there, I would like that a lot. Browns, I really, really want Jonathan Brooks to go to the Browns. Just let him sit there while you guys ride out this Kareem Hunt, Jerome Ford. I think they also brought in Deonta Foreman, was it? Or somebody else, until Chubb gets back. Then Chubb gets back, finishes out the year, does really good. And then you got a 1-2 punch with Chubb and Jordan Brooks next year, or Jonathan Brooks, excuse me, next year, and then Jonathan Brooks takes over. And he's a young guy, so he's able to do that. I would like that a lot. Now let's talk about wide receivers. This is going to be an interesting one, and it's honestly not the easiest one to put together for me. I struggled a little bit, and a lot of people are going to disagree with this. This is a hot take. I'm going to have to defend it and explain it. But my 6th best landing spot that is also realistic for rookie wide receivers is the Bills. A lot of people are going to put the Bills at number 1, so I need to explain why I have them at 6. The reason I have them at 6 is because of, 1, competition, which I will explain, and 2, quarterback. Those are the 2 good reasons, sorry. But I obviously I'm going to give you why I don't have them higher, because most people are going to have them at 1 or 2. So first off, competition. Obviously, They've got Khalil Shakir there. They've got Curtis Samuel. They've got, oh my goodness, why am I forgetting like normal people's names? Whoever their rookie tight end is that we all love. Oh my goodness, this is going to, Dalton Kincaid, this is going to drive me crazy. It only happens during deep dive. I always remember everything during everything else. But Dalton Kincaid, that's a nice set there if you can bring in an alpha. If you can bring in an alpha wide receiver, which I think they are going to do, or at least going to attempt to do. Hopefully they can do it successfully. The thing that draws me back from Buffalo is the fact that Stephon Diggs was doing great, and then once they had their offensive coordinator change, drops off of a cliff. It wasn't Diggs. It wasn't Diggs who dropped off the cliff. It wasn't Diggs who stopped separating or stopped being fast or started dropping balls or anything. He did have an unfortunate drop in the playoffs, but besides that, just over the course of the season, he was really good. And all of a sudden, he just dropped off out of nowhere. And it was right when the change happened. And, you know, being that they still have the same coaching staff in place from that change, it doesn't give me much confidence to say, hey, whichever guy is the wide receiver one there, even if he is a stud, he's going to get hyper-targeted. I don't believe that. I don't think that the scheme that they use really can emphasize or highlight a wide receiver one. I think it's kind of just, hey, this guy's open for this play, this guy's open for this play. We're not trying to get the ball to our playmaker. We're just designing plays according to the defense and giving it to the open guy, which it sounds good, but you got to get the ball to your playmakers. And they didn't do that with Stephon Diggs. So it makes me a little bit weary, and there's a lot of good other teams that I have above the Bills. So for me, yes, there's a good vacancy there with Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs gone, even though I think Kincaid steps up into a nice portion of that role that's opened up, and they have Josh Allen. However, I don't think that that situation right now will be super conducive to getting a 25% target share to a wide receiver. I just don't think that's going to happen. Now, at number five, I have the Patriots. It's purely because there's nobody else there, and I think if you get a good wide receiver, a good rookie wide receiver to the Patriots, and you would think that there's a rookie quarterback there as well, that they can maybe grow together if they can get somebody that is a good play caller. We'll see about that. Definitely have my doubts there right now. But when you're thinking about the Patriots and who's on their team, you probably can't even name four wide receivers or three wide receivers on their team. That's how bad it is, right? So whatever rookie wide receiver is there, he probably can get a 27, 28% target share, which even if it's a horrible team, the target share is going to be good enough for him to produce. At number four for wide receivers, I've got the Chiefs. Because of great coaching and a great quarterback, I don't think there's a huge vacancy of targets. There's really intense competition there right now with Travis Kelce, with Rashee Rice, with Marquise Brown. Now, Rashee Rice probably going to get suspended by the NFL. If I had to guess, which I'm not a huge guesser, but if I had to guess based off of what we've seen in the past, I think Rashee Rice probably gets 4 to 8 games of a suspension. Got hit with 8 charges and had an arrest warrant dropped on him. So he'll probably just book, go in and out of the facility. And, you know, he'll just have a court date set. But the NFL will definitely step in and do their own thing and suspend him for some amount of time. TBD on that. But regardless, Marquise Brown, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, you've got weapons there already that, while none of them are, because Kelsey's taking a step back, while none of them are absolutely elite guys, they are enough to damper somebody from being able to get a 26, 27% target share, something along those lines. But I love the coaching there. I love the quarterback there, obviously. So it's a really good spot for a wide receiver. It just won't bring the volume that you're looking for. Now, at number three, I have the Cardinals. That's because of the competition. Trey McBride and Michael Wilson are the only guys there. That's a huge vacancy for an alpha. I love me some Michael Wilson. I think he could be a low-key, okay, one high-volume guy, but I think he's really better served as a number two wide receiver in an NFL offense. He's good. I like him a lot. There's a nice little highlight reel going around about him right now, raising his draft stock. Good thing I told you guys to go buy him about 3 weeks ago and made a whole post about it. So hopefully you guys bought into that. But Michael Wilson, I like. Trey McBride, however, they are missing that piece there that can get a whole bunch of targets, that alpha. And I think they're going to get that guy, whether it's Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. I don't think they're going to get Rome Odunze. I don't know why I said Odunze. I don't think I've ever said that before. But I don't think they're going to get Rome Odunze. However, I do think Nabers or Harrison will be, one of them will be an Arizona Cardinal. And that's going to be great. Then the Bengals at number two. Now, you might be like, well, how is it that you have the Bengals above the Cardinals and the Chiefs? Because the Bengals have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. That's a lot of competition. Well, first off, I'm thinking about the future. We know T. Higgins is not going to be there for the long-standing future. He might be a draft day trade, which would open it up immediately for a rookie to come in and produce right away. Somebody I would love, absolutely love in Cincy is Ricky Pearsall. You guys know I like Ricky Pearsall a whole bunch, or Adonai Mitchell. But Ricky Pearsall, man, he is one of my favorite wide receivers in this class. He is my wide receiver 4 or 5, depending on the day, how I wake up, what side of the bed I'm on. But him and Adonai Mitchell, I'm kind of like flip-flopping back and forth over and over and over. And landing spot is definitely going to help me figure out who I like more than the other. But Adonai Mitchell has those questions about, you know, effort, stuff like that. Ricky Pearsall doesn't have any questions. He's a super athlete. He's a good route runner. He creates separation. He's great at the catch point. Like, he's pretty much everything you want. He's just not elite. He's not an elite burst guy like a Nabers or an elite 50-50 throw it up smooth operator like Rome Odunze, stuff like that. But it's a nice situation. You've got Joe Burrow. You've got the coaching there that is always very, very pass heavy in terms of pass rates and pass attempts total and emphasis on funneling targets to the wide receiver position specifically. The Bengals had, especially when they had Boyd there with them, they had one of the highest wide receiver position target rates of any team in the NFL. So it's a really good spot for a rookie. And honestly, if T. Higgins doesn't get traded and they take somebody, I think that's the best situation because that's where you find your value. That's when your rookie wide receiver that's there with Cincy is going to be a really good sleeper because he's going to be viewed as the number three. And, you know, then all of a sudden, after T. Higgins is done with Cincy this year, he'll be very good. And then number one is the Chargers. I am, if not the first person you've ever heard probably say, if you've been listening to the podcast long enough, say, hey, Jim Harbaugh to the Chargers, red alert, red alert, red alert. That pass offense is going to tank, not in terms of efficiency, but in terms of volume. However, they have lost literally everyone. Mike Williams is gone. Gerald Everett is gone. Keenan Allen is gone. Austin Eckler is gone. That is your, I don't know if Everett was the fourth target. Probably not. He was probably fifth. But that's four of your top five targets. Your three top targets are gone and another one in Gerald Everett. Like that is, and they haven't been replaced in any way, shape, or form. You've got Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer. That is a joke. So even if they are, which I believe, they are running the ball 50% of the time and they're only passing the ball 500 something times on the season, 520 times on the season, 500 times on the season, that's fine because whatever rookie goes there, there's not much competition and the offense is going to be good. There'll be some touchdown potential there that he can get a 28% target share. So even though it might not be a super pass heavy like we're used to offense in Los Angeles with the Chargers, it's going to be good enough because of the target share. So that's why that's my number one spot for wide receiver. Chargers are really a money spot for running back and receiver right now. They're coming in at number one for both of those, and they're also coming in at number one for tight end for me because they just are lacking weapons everywhere, and that's the problem. They have one of the biggest gaping holes in terms of offensive market share that needs to be filled. It needs to be filled by running back, wide receiver, or tight end, more than likely a combination of the two, or two of the three. So, yeah, two of the three. So, when you're looking at tight end, I mean, I'm going to skip back down to the bottom, but I just wanted to say the Chargers are at number one for me for tight ends. If they grabbed, let's say they trade down, right, and grab Brock Bowers, or later on in the draft they get a Ben Sinnott or a Eric All or something like that, which I got to start working through my rookie tight ends too. I got a lot of work ahead of me, guys. But I'm glad I got as deep into the weeds as I did on wide receiver and got that out of the way. And I did decent on running back. I got a top 10 on running back. So I'm glad with that stuff, but I need to get into these quarterbacks, tight ends. But yeah, the Chargers are definitely the best spot for a tight end. Coming in at number 6 for me, for the best spots for tight end that are also realistic, is Colts. And that's because there's not going to be much competition there, and there is a good amount of targets that will be available in terms of market share, not necessarily total targets like volume, because they're not going to be a high pass volume offense. But Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, are you an Alec Pierce guy? Jonathan Taylor's not really a receiving running back. So they kind of need a third guy there. And I think tight end, more than wide receiver, would be the way to go for them. And, you know, Shane Steichens came from Philly. Philly had Dallas Goedert, and he utilized Goedert. He liked Goedert. And before that, Justin Herbert's rookie season, he was with the Chargers. And the Chargers were, I think, was it Everett then? I forget which one it was they were using. But they did have a somewhat relevant tight end there in that offense. So I think that that's something they're going to be looking for. And I think it's a good spot for a tight end. The Broncos are another one because of competition as well. Same thing as the Colts, but they have less competition. It's Cortland Sutton and Marvin Mims, if you're a Mims guy. Maybe the other wide receiver that I'm forgetting about right now, Tim Patrick, is that his name? I have to look into that, see if he's even there still. But when we're looking at the Broncos, I mean, they don't have a top shelf tight end right now. And we know Sean Payton loves his tight ends. We know that. He's been trying to grab guys to fill that tight end role. He's got Dulcich, which a lot of people were super high on, and then just out of nowhere forgot about him. I was never too high on Dulcich. I was just like kind of lukewarm on him. But that's the Broncos at 5. At 4, I've got the Chiefs. I think this is a sneaky spot for a tight end. They need to grab that guy, let him be there while Kelsey is there so Kelsey can teach him and pass on some skills so that tight end can be great faster. So that's a really sneaky spot that I like. The Jets are a good spot because of the competition and the quarterback. They have Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams, who's pretty much always hurt, and that's it. That's Alan Lazard is our right, but that's pretty much their offense. So they need a tight end. And, you know, I think they're going to grab one. I do. I think that's probably the odds-on favorite right now for Brock Bowers, which I wouldn't hate. Then the Bengals are at number 2. You guys know Chargers at number 1. Bengals are number 2. The exact same reasons that I explained for wide receiver, it's the same here. And honestly, a tight end, that's a more fast-track position to targets for them because while Higgins is there, Higgins, Chase, and a tight end, if they get a top-tier guy, that's going to be awesome. So pay attention. If you see any tight ends drafted to the Chargers, Bengals, Jets, Chiefs, Broncos, or Colts, even if it's not somebody you know or anything like that, do some digging. I'll be talking about them on the podcast. Do some digging. See what you can find about these guys because those are some really good tight end landing spots. And I think all of those teams will be looking for a tight end in the receiving game. And that's something that if they do take one, you're going to have to take a look at that guy. So just to go over it real quick, from top to bottom, my best quarterback landing spots that are also realistic are the Vikings, Dolphins, Bears, Commanders, Broncos, Raiders, Patriots. Best running back spots, Chargers, Cowboys, Raiders, Browns, Giants. Wide receivers, Chargers, Bengals, Cardinals, Chiefs, Patriots, Bills, and tight ends, Chargers, Bengals, Jets, Chiefs, Broncos, Colts. Tight end and wide receiver are pretty similar. Obviously, the Bills are not on there because they have Dalton Kincaid, and the Cardinals are not on there because they have Trey McBride. But that's what I've got there. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoy this a little bit different type of episode talking about landing spots. And hopefully, my boy Billy, if you're listening, Billy, come on, baby. Come on next time. Hopefully, we can get Billy back on here because I think me and him have a very good chemistry, and I loved that last episode that we pushed out together. Thank you guys for listening. Drop a rating, drop a review. Until next time, peace.
you know, man. You know.